Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text is the Gospel according to St. Matthew, which I have read. I'll just reread it again to refresh our memories. On getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Thus far our text. Prove it. Have you ever heard that? You say something, somebody says to you, "Prove it." You know, it happens all the time. When I was in industry, it happened to us a lot. We would say something and our boss would say, "Prove it. Go to your lab, work on it, prove it." I happened to have the opportunity to work with the man who discovered Teflon. And when he came back one day and found it in his beaker, they wanted him to prove how you got that stuff. That was a challenge. He didn't really know how he got it. But he had to work backwards and figure out how he arrived at this kind of miraculous looking and acting stuff. The scribes, really, although they didn't say a word, were challenging Jesus. Prove it. Prove who you are. Well, we might think in our text now, as it's before us, keep this thought in mind. Jesus proved to the scribes that he was the Son of God. How'd he do it? Well, forgave the paralytic his sins, and he healed him. He went to his hometown. And here came some gentlemen carrying their close friend on some sort of cot he was lying on. And you know in the other Gospels, the story where they lowered him down through the ceiling, taking the roof apart and lowering him down. And when Jesus saw him, the first thing he says to him is, "Be of good cheer. Take heart. Have courage." Now we might think that's a rather strange thing to say to a man who's paralyzed. He can't walk. He's lying on a cot. I was thinking as I was working on this, certainly our member, Bruce, probably would think that I, his pastor, wasn't very compassionate. If after hearing that he had broken two vertebrae in his neck and he was on his way to the hospital in the emergency room in the town where we lived, and when I walked into that emergency room to minister to him and his family, if I'd have said, "Take heart, Bruce, be of good cheer," as they were getting ready to drill holes in his head and put him in a halo. Probably wouldn't have thought I was very compassionate. People might not have thought Jesus was very compassionate when he said, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." Jesus can say the same thing and does say the same thing to you and me. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven you. That's our greatest need in life, Even greater than being able to walk, see, or hear is to have our sins forgiven. All of them simply washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And we stand before God forgiven, even though we know we shouldn't be, but we are. We have a loving God, one who loves us so much, he forgives us our sins. When I, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, and when all of us pastors called and installed rightly, say unto you, after you confess your sins, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins. Your sins are forgiven. Now you might say, well, when I came, my sins were forgiven because I am baptized and God is constantly washing my sins away. And that is correct. But he wants to remind us again and again and again that our sins are forgiven, because Satan loves to attack us and try to convince us otherwise. The other day, I was amazed at something. I mean, there's lots of things, jillions of things, but something came back to mind from years ago. I'd even forgotten about it. And I kind of was amused, really, sort of, after I remembered I was forgiven, that why am I thinking about that? Well, that's Satan bringing it back to my mind, trying to convince me that I am not forgiven. But I am forgiven, and you are forgiven, and God wants us to know that we're forgiven. So he tells us over and over and over again, I love you, I forgive you, I want you to know it. I want you to live every single day of your life in my forgiveness. In fact, the prophet was inspired to say that God sweeps up all of your sins and throws them into the bottom of the sea and doesn't think about them again. So Jesus says what might seem to be shocking words to us, but in reality, they aren't to him. Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, the scribes reacted differently. And it's really interesting that Jesus, the text says, well, the Greek text says, not all English translations translate it this way, but the Greek text says, Jesus saw their thoughts. He looked into the hearts of these men and the ones that came bringing the paralytic. And the paralytic, they believed he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But the scribes were saying in their hearts, this fella blasphemed. They didn't have much respect for Jesus. You know, he hadn't gone to great universities. He had grown up, that little town up north there in Nazareth. Yeah, that's not much of a town. You know, he was a carpenter. Now, hey, what is this? He's not a scholar like we are. This fella, he blasphemes. And Jesus looks into their hearts. And he can see what they're thinking. Amazing, isn't it? He can see, the scriptures say. He can see their faith. He can see what they're thinking. And he said to the scribes, why do you reason in your hearts evil? Wow. That should have cut them to the quick. They can't do anything, and he sees and knows it. He can't have any crazy thoughts, sinful thoughts. This man, this fella, blasphemes. Well, Jesus said to them, okay, what's easier to do? Say your sins are forgiven? Or to say arise and walk? Well, they're saying to him, prove it. He's saying to them, I will prove it. So what do you think? What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or arise and walk? I think we might all conclude it would be easier to say your sins are forgiven you than to actually say to someone who is paralyzed and have it happen, arise and walk. In fact, we would be a little out of our heads, I think people would think, if we think we could do that. I wasn't too happy about it. We had a member who, unfortunately, being a carpenter working on a roof, turned one day and stepped into the hole where they were going to put the stair. And he fell a couple of stories and hit his head. He was our member. His wife was a member of some, might I say, kooky outfit, whose supposed pastor was going to heal him. And so they came and had some sort of ceremony where he pronounced him healed. I wasn't very pleased about it. Neither were his parents, who were our members. And then, a few months later, I had his funeral. Which is easier to do? Your sins are forgiven? Or arise and walk? So that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, arise, take your bed, and go home. And he did. Because when Jesus speaks, it's not as our word, like I could say, door open. Door open! It's not opening. Jesus could say, door open. It would open. Jesus can say, arise and walk. And it happens. He can say to the little girl, to Talitha kum, I say unto you, arise. And she did. He can say to Lazarus, who's dead for 4 days, Lazarus, come out of that tomb, and he comes out. Jesus has power in his words. And when he speaks, whatever he declares happens. To the deaf man, he says, hear, and he hears. To the blind man, he says, see, and he sees. To the dead man, he says, arise. And he arises. And Jesus says to you and to me, be of good cheer, son, daughters, for your sins are forgiven. The Son of Man has authority upon earth to forgive you your sins and to take you to heaven with him. When he declared over your baptism, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He forgave you all your sins, took up residence within you, wrote your name in the book of life, and promised you, when you breathe your last, the angels will carry you into the bosom of your heavenly Father. God grant you and me and the rest of the world faith to believe Jesus' words, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Amen. Now may the peace that passeth all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.